Oh, hello, I didn't see you there. This is Dr. Thaddeus Venture, and you're listening to the Long Box Guys. Whatever that means.
We're on the road, we're going home, to the place where wild nerds roam, with pretty girls and dudes and kids. Going to cons is our escape. It's like a pack of bookies in a star-filled sky, where you can meet all your heroes and none of them fly.
Hey, Gad, what are the Long Box Guys going to do tonight, Brain?
The same thing the Long Box Guys do every night, Pinky. Drink and talk about comics. They're useless at taking over the world. Yes.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of the Long Box Guys. My name is Tom, and with me, as always, are some of my very best friends since I was a very little kid. Mike, I almost got you to snarf. Damn it. How you doing, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing well, and I'm... will eventually be drinking a beer from Santa Clara Brewing. It's a nice Hefeweizen.
Ooh, a delicious Hefeweizen. Tommy, how you doing and what are you drinking?
I'm doing okay. I'm drinking some Woodford Reserve. How are you doing, Tommy, and what are you drinking?
I'm doing fine. I ran out of scotch, so I got delicious Coors Light. I like to drink this just because it makes my good friend Josh wince.
Well, I am also taking it easy tonight, so I've got a Harpoon Rec League. It's sort of a light beer, but it's delicious and refreshing, but I have to be up super fucking early tomorrow.
How early do you gotta be up there, buddy?
I mean, not too bad. I mean, I'll probably get up around 4:30.
Wow, the rise of the Joshua. Speaking of the rise, this week we're going to be talking about the rise of the Skywalker.
Yeah.
That was an okay segue. Shut up. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, it would have been great if you didn't put the in it. You would have had the title.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. So, Josh, this is a movie we all saw very recently, the latest of the Star Wars saga. Give us a little background on what the movie was led up to, and then we'll just take it from there and talk about the movie.
Alrighty, folks, here's your one and only warning for spoilers. If you have not seen this film, we're pretty much going to describe the whole damn thing. We're going to talk about the ending. We're going to talk about the characters. We're going to talk about the people who died, who you didn't know died, because you haven't seen the film yet. So get out of here.
Are we going to talk about the tiny sexually abused droid?
Yes. Only if you, we have to.
Yeah. No, thank you. That poor little guy.
I know. He belongs in a James Bond movie, not a Star Wars movie.
No, thank you.
No, thank you. He went through hell, that little bastard.
No more squeak.
Sith are evil.
Sith are evil. Okay, folks. This is the third and final film in the most recent trilogy. The end of our generationally split three trilogies, and in this latest version, we have Rey finishing her saga after being somehow connected to Kylo Ren, not knowing who her parents are, and we see the return of Emperor Palpatine as the ultimate evil in the universe, with a inexplicably huge fleet that cannot leave the area unless it has a single antenna. So
there's that.
Yeah, Emperor Palpatine's back, and when I first saw that I was like, who the fuck wanted this?
Who wanted this? I mean, Ian McDiarmid wanted a job, don't get me wrong. But so we're into the third film, and I have to say, was it the worst of the trilogy? No. It definitely wasn't the best. I mean, I got to go 1-3-2 on this. But they just went off in really, really odd directions here. But I think anytime you put a trilogy together where it's written by three different people and they really didn't get to talk to each other either before or afterwards, maybe you end up with a movie set of movies that kind of look like what we saw.
Fair
what
enough.
Was your guys' overall feelings? What did you feel? Let the force flow through you. Well, how did you feel about this movie?
First, I have to expect that Star Wars is not for me. It's for a different generation. And it's for the kids out there who are watching it for the first time. And if you look at it through those eyes, it's not as crappy as it is looking at it through our eyes, I would say. There's a ton of problems with this. And I think one of the major things is J.J. Abrams devoted fan service instead of to plot and character development. I thought that it was all over the place. I thought that the second movie by Rian Johnson took it in a completely different direction, and J.J. Abrams was like, nope, we're not going that way. We're going to just ignore all that shit from the last movie, and now we're going this way. And it did not work for me, having seen the other movies.
It was almost like he had to devote a lot of the movie to undo what was done in the last movie. And some of it, kind of rightly so, because like the last movie went on a lot of unnecessary plots. I mean, there was a lot of stuff that went into a lot of weird directions in the last movie.
This was the whole plot of the movie is just a MacGuffin hunt. Yeah, I got to go here. Okay, now we found this. Now we got to go here. Now we found that. Now we got to go here and do this. Now we got to go here and do that. And it got repetitive and, quite frankly, boring to me. Every time it switched over to a different scene, I was like, is this really necessary? For example, the whole plot of the movie is she's trying to find the Emperor, right? So she can kill him and stop him. That's essentially it, right? That's
sure.
Rey's journey. The Emperor wants her to come to him. Why does he make it so fucking hard for her to find him if that's his plan too? And the whole thing is nonsensical. You're telling me that the Emperor decided to put the clue to his secret location on a crashed Death Star. So then he had somebody go out and take, I would presume, a photo from a certain angle and then take it to a blacksmith and have them craft it just so if you pushed it in the right direction and held it in the right spot that you would find exactly where the holocron that takes you to the Emperor is. And then he was like, man, we better hope this dagger doesn't fall into enemy hands. So he gives it to a guy who's leaving the place, who already fucking knows how to get there. I don't understand any of it.
As far as an Indiana Jones movie goes, this made perfect sense to me. Because if you took everything else out, nothing really mattered. Rey was probably going to get to the Emperor at the end anyways, because that's what the Emperor wanted. Everything else was just kind of filler. But that filler was the hero's journey, which we all kind of like. Rey learned how to do better with the Force. Kylo Ren came back over to the light side. There was that really, really, really cool fight scene on the downed Death Star, which I thought was one of the better fight scenes I've seen in a while. I really liked that one.
So let's go back to the first trilogy. In fact, the first six movies are based on one guy's fall from grace and then his redemption. That's Darth Vader, right? Mm-hmm. So in this movie, Kylo Ren takes on that journey. However, the problem is we don't really see Kylo Ren's journey to the dark side until the second movie. Right? We don't know what drives him. Or was it the first movie? I can't remember. But either way, it's a story about his redemption. But I don't understand why he's redeeming himself.
Well, he killed his pop.
Yeah, he killed his dad. I don't know what it is that with him and Ray that made him decide all of a sudden, I've already committed to this act. I want her to join me. She's not going to join me, so now I'm just going to join her.
I think Ray shows him a better way by being such, you know, a beacon of hope in the universe. As corny as that sounds, that's what I think.
She did the selfless act of saving him.
Yeah.
After she killed him.
By the way, that could have gone back and forth for like a half hour. I would have thought that was awesome.
I thought it was pretty cool that way at the end.
Yeah.
The Emperor.
Can we talk about the force healing for a second? While I was watching the movie with my wife, I leaned over after Ray healed the snake, and I was like, we know she's House Slytherin. And that was the only time during the movie my wife enjoyed it.
And that I was really hoping that thing would come back and save her because, you know, it was a cool animated creature and I liked it.
Actually, that would have been cool, too. I would have been for that.
Yeah.
Even if it stole a ship, it happened to be sentient.
Now, I was hoping when they were doing the force off to see who could hold the ship, that the snake was going to fucking tag Kylo.
And that would have been
great. I was like, come on,
awesome.
Snake.
And then Kylo cuts his way out of the fucking snake.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter that Rey saved him because he fucking kills the snake anyways.
Yeah, anyway. See? We're rewriting this right now.
Yeah.
So, you're welcome.
And the other thing that bothers me is the deaths. Deaths in this Star Wars movie essentially had no real meaning to it. Because Chewbacca, oh my God, he's dead. Oh, this is horrible. Oh, it's a fake. C-3PO sacrifices himself to get the information that they need. And R2 just reboots him, making his sacrifice worthless, right? It's the same with Chewbacca getting blown up. It was just there to fool us. The only death that happens is Leia, and I still don't know why she's just decided, well, now for some reason, I'm going to go try to reach my son. I know they had to kill her because they didn't have enough footage of her, right? But they could have just killed her in the last movie rather than having her floating back through space. Or she could have been driving the battleship, cruiser that leads everybody away. And she would have died a great death there. This, again, I understand having reflected on the movie, but at the time I was like, I didn't understand what the point of her dying was. I had to really think about it.
Well, maybe that is part of the point. I mean, maybe having to really think about it is what they want you to do. I love any Star Wars movie where they don't mention midichlorians. I'm good. If you don't mention midichlorians, I'm in, baby. I'm in.
So does anybody understand how gravity works? Because the New Order does not. The landing party gets on your ship, you do not have to send people out to meet the guys riding the horse on your ship. You merely have to turn it at a 90-degree angle and let them fall to their death.
Look, Mike, that's hard. When you got Star Destroyers all around, it's hard.
Yeah.
So
you could have just tilted it forward 45 degrees, and that probably would have done the same thing.
Just make them go up those just to be dicks.
45 would have been a lot easier.
Mike, I do unfortunately have an explanation for this. In Rogue One, the Death Star that takes off after they decide to abandon the planet, it never tilts or turns. It actually just goes straight up. So I think the Star Destroyers in atmosphere can only hover straight. Oh. I don't think they can actually maneuver.
Oh, so they couldn't have just gone up to where the oxygen is less and cut them all off their air supply?
Nope, because they didn't have to hit the beacon.
It's the antenna. Third base. It's like the worst happening Costello bit ever.
Yes. But no, there's plenty of faults in the movie. It's pretty terrible. And I honestly
I don't think it's terrible, guys.
Who built all those things?
You know what they could have done? Like, they could have just sprayed the outside with Crisco, and then those horses would have been sliding all over the place. It would have been hilarious.
It's not like it's easier to maintain them in atmosphere. Why don't you just fly one up, fly it into space? Fly one up, fly it into space. Fly one up, fly it into space. I mean, and also at the end, I really just wanted Rey to stay dead. I thought they should have left with Kylo being Skywalker.
Also,
I would have rather seen him at fucking Uncle Owen and not Beru's moisture farm.
Yeah.
So just a redeemed Kylo?
Yeah. Moisture Farm is a great name for a porn movie.
Can we just go back to the horses?
Okay, go back to the horses.
No,
they
no.
loaded up those horses anticipating their space battle. They were going to need them. Because they had no idea in advance what
Mike,
they were going to encounter.
First of all, leave no horse behind, Mike. Yeah. We just don't leave our horses behind.
Was the,
would
are
you
the horses
leave your dog
navigators?
Behind? Was that what you're going to do? You going to leave your dog behind?
I like
you
to
take
think
your dog.
I like to think that the horses are navigators, and that's all they're good at.
Named Gronk. If Crockett and Tubbs had to fight these guys in space, you bet your bottom dollar Elvis the alligator would have been with them too. That's just the way we roll, guys. No pets left behind. Josh, Bandit, and Dodger, they coming with you?
Dodger and Baxter, they're in my spaceship. We're taking
goddamn right. Now, he's not going to be any help whatsoever, but I'm bringing Tugboat.
Well, unless we run out of food or it gets really cold. Go Tug.
Go Tug.
Yeah, I didn't like I said, it's just three so disincorporated films. Like, they had the Zahn novels, which were pretty good books to base the trilogy on.
Oh, there's no source material, Josh. What are you talking about?
No books, no source material.
No video games even?
I think we've been drawn into this Marvel idea of how a franchise should work. There should be an overarching plan in place. If you're like, okay, we're going to make a trilogy, and you don't even know what the fuck the trilogy is about, you're just doing a dollar grab. They could have just done Vader down. Didn't even have to introduce any new characters. They could have just done Vader down, CGI all the people to make him look young again, and I would have just fucking come in my pants and watched it 40 times.
Poor t-shirts have gone away. They can't do Vader down because poor theaters have gone away.
What do you mean poor theaters gone away? Just because there's not one in your neighborhood. Come down to Dorchester.
Dorchester,
so
we got Pawn.
Dig deep, Mike. What was good? What did you think was good?
All right. I like the fact that there was no relationship between Finn and Rey other than friendship. I think the thing that he wanted to tell her was that he was force sensitive. However, how the fuck did she not know that he's force sensitive? She's talking to a guy on the other fucking side of the galaxy. I'm surprised she can't tell that the guy standing right next to her is force sensitive. I like that. I thought that was good. I like the end where Billy Dee Williams is talking to that former stormtrooper and is like, let's find out who you are, because he's totally going to bang that chick.
Well, what do you I don't want to try to outquote you here, but I think she said, let's find out what your story is, which is such a beautiful way of saying, you know, let's move the universe forward. You know, shake my hand. It's time for Billy Dee to, you know, maybe bow out a little bit.
Yeah.
And what the fuck was Billy Dee Williams? He was a general in the army, but disappears after him and Luke are on that planet. And just Luke takes off 20 years ago and never comes back. And Billy Dee is just hanging out on the planet waiting for shit to happen. He didn't want to go back and join Leia and Han. Just
playing cards.
I don't know.
Billy D's got Billy D stuff to do. Shut up.
Well, I am happy that he is back in the Millennium Falcon. because you know that's his first love.
It's true.
It is. I just wish the nav computer talked better, more. Made me sad that it's so quiet.
It would have been nice if they, at least threw a little something in there for Billy Dee and the nav computer, right?
Yeah.
And I heard this on another podcast. I can't take credit for it. When the ex-stormtrooper is talking to Finn and he asks why they did it, it would have been much better if she had said, because we had heard of you. Then all of a sudden Finn is a much more important hero in the Star Wars mythos because he is the one that is inspiring these other stormtroopers to lay down their weapons and quit the New World Order and try to find a different way.
And pick up all new weapons.
Yeah.
And fight back.
And horses.
And horses.
Horses. So when they said that, I was actually trying to think of – she's like, oh, we all just decided to lay down our arms. Like it was something I was hoping Force-related. I was trying to think back if there was an event that they correlated with that timeline.
Order 42. Order 42. What?
Zor-El Bliss was played by Carrie Russell. Phenomenal actress. You'd never get to see her because she's wearing that goddamn mask the whole time. Is she Darth Vader? Why do you get a big name actress in your movie and not show her to anybody?
I did recognize her voice right away.
What was the point of her character anyways, other than to, oh, that's right, she had to give the MacGuffin piece to Poe so he could go to the next.
Next. Yeah.
Although the little tinkerer guy, he's my favorite.
He's okay, my favorite. Maybe this worked, maybe not. Okay.
What was his name?
I don't know. I know we're dealing with a tough movie because I asked Mike to dig deep and find something good, and he circled back to things he hated in like 12 seconds. So I'm going to move on to Tom for the positive. Mike, don't even say it. We'll start with you, Tom. Tom, what do you got? What are the positives you got out of the movie?
Which time are you talking to here, buddy?
You, Tom. I always call it LTLT.
Fine. I like this movie. I had a great time. It was a movie to me. And when I say that, I sat in my chair, I ate my popcorn, I rooted for the good guys, I booed the bad guys. The train, the space train scene was awesome. The heist was awesome. It was exciting. It was fun. The visuals were great. They introduced new characters that I liked. You guys already mentioned a few. I can't remember what the name of the abused little robot was that kept saying, no, thank you. But he was so cute, and I felt for him like right off the bat. Like right off the bat, I was like, ah, this poor little guy. And I felt for him. I felt something for a lot of these characters. And that doesn't happen to me. It happens to me a lot, but it really happens to me a lot more in Star Wars movies. There was fun. There was adventures. There was good shootouts, action, sword fighting, wrestling, true love, kind of.
LT, what do you got on the positive side?
I liked this film also. But then again, after the last film, my standards for Star Wars films are a little bit lower in terms of plot because the last one had so many different plot divergences. But the
last one also had the really cool fight scene in the 1980s weird porno set that I loved. That was like the greatest odd fight scene of my life.
Yes. It did, and that was probably the best part of the film.
It's a great fight scene.
Yeah, but I could have done totally without the casino planet, the casino, all of that. But anyway, this film, I liked it. I mean, I thought it was good. I feel like Palpatine had to make the journey to Exegol hard. Otherwise, they wouldn't have gone. If it had been easy, they would have known up front it was a trap. Whereas he had to convince them that it was difficult to get there because then he wouldn't have made it known that it was a trap right away. He wanted to sucker all them people to get there and die so that he could round up all the rebels in one place and kill them off. I mean, that's Palpatine's way. He did it with the second Death Star, you know? What makes you think this Death Star is not operational? It's the same thing. You know, but I thought it was a decent movie, and I liked the new characters. I liked the Baba Frick. I liked the little robot. I liked you know, the new characters. I thought it was kind of funny that, you know, C-3PO couldn't remember shit. And it would have been nice if he still couldn't remember shit, even though, you know, R2 backed him up. But overall, I thought it was a much better movie than the last one. Even though it did have problems. And I really do think at the end, like, if they release it on DVD, I think there really should be like a half an hour deleted scenes of just Kylo Ren and Rey going back and forth, saving each other with the Force at the end. Because that would be hilarious to me.
It is kind of funny. Yeah. All right, so the last movie was like getting kicked in the groin over and over again. So you like this one slightly better because there were breaks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you for that smattering of applause.
I also didn't really understand why, one, like, so she wasn't worthy of Luke's lightsaber, even though it was really Anakin's lightsaber. It wasn't the lightsaber that Luke made. And even so, like, Jedi's make their own lightsaber. It doesn't matter whose lightsaber she had. And she eventually made one at the end, but it was like, why in the hell do you give a shit about whose lightsaber you have?
Maybe she was being nice. She just didn't want the old one.
I was being nice!
Being nice! It's like a 45-year-old lightsaber. It's not exactly stable.
The butt sticks!
I think actually one of the disappointing things for me is in the movie, Rey defends her parents to the Emperor as protecting her life and doing their best, and he tries to bring out the dark side in her by basically saying, no, they died for nothing, you're nothing, yada, yada, yada. And in the end, she gives up her parents' name. Like, that is not a redemption. If you are hiding who you really are, you have not been redeemed. You're a Palpatine. You should have been Palpatine. And that's why I think Rey should have kicked the bucket and Kylo should have kept going. Because at least he's kind of a Skywalker.
Rise of the Palpatine kind of puts a horn on it there, buddy.
Yeah.
I'm sure the Hitler family in Germany might have changed their name.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
Hello, I am Hans Hitler. I am
no relation.
Where'd you get that accent, Tommy?
You know where he got it.
Where we got that accent.
Oh,
you blew a German shepherd. We just called them shepherds.
Yeah. We just called them shepherds.
Funniest joke ever. Guy actually said that to me in German. Germany. Hey, man, I really like a German shepherd. We just called them shepherds. Oh.
Right, really? Dick. Then what do they call the people who watch over the flock?
Nazis.
Too soon.
Too soon.
Too soon?
Too soon, Franz Ferdinand. Oof. Should have stood up if I'm going to pull Franz Ferdinand out of my ass. Anyone have any last thoughts on Rise of the Skywalker? Sounds better that way, doesn't it? No? All right.
Yeah.
No, we did a Kessel run. Should have made a Kessel run.
I'm not going to diss what I hate anymore.
You know,
anymore.
I got to tell you, kids won't take it.
The Millennium Falcon is the greatest ship in the universe, though, because... Man, you can fix that sucker so fucking quick.
Just because it's a Volkswagen doesn't make it the best ship in the universe, buddy.
Oh, man, you can fix that sucker with baling wire, for Christ's sakes.
All right. I think I have to agree. Josh, I think you actually said this. It might have been – actually, maybe it was Mike. This one was for the next generation of Star Wars fans. And I think it did its job. A lot of Star Wars – I mean, Star Wars is super popular all around the world. Disney's making a shit ton of money hand over fist at the new Star Wars Disneyland attractions. I think it's mostly because old guys like us dragging their kids there trying to get them into Star Wars. But, I mean, you can't deny that the dolls, the toys, the Mandalorian, the franchise itself is healthy as a horse. And I think that's because it's evolving and bringing in the new guys. And bringing in the kids.
Yeah, I mean, I like The Mandalorian a lot. I think it's a good show. And of the new generation of movies, I still think Rogue One is the best by a long shot.
Rogue One was terrific.
Yep.
Like, Rogue One was actually a good movie, whether or not you had ever seen Star Wars before.
Yeah, because death had meaning.
Yeah.
And there was
they
a lot
actually sacrificed themselves. Yeah. Yeah. And you got to see Vader go house on people with a lightsaber for the first time. Also awesome. We had about 15 seconds of Vader down like action, and I loved it.
Disney, seriously, man, make Vader down. You make a variation of Vader down. Come on, man, just make that horror movie that we all want of Vader just being Vader.
Yeah. Plus, we got rumors of the Obi-Wan show coming up to Disney Plus with Ewan McGregor reprising his role. One of my favorite things about all time about Ewan McGregor is that his brother is a fighter pilot in the RAF and his call sign is Obi-2.
Ooh. Because Obi-Wan was taken.
Taken.
Nice. Fucking nice. All right. Last thoughts. Anybody?
What is father be Obi-4?
Oh, I see what you did there.
Nice.
Nice. Yes. Yes, Mike.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Good day, gentlemen. Good day.
Good day.
And his mother's doctor? OBGYN.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
That wasn't that fucking bad. Fuck you.
The guy who makes his robe? Obi-Taylor.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's Ron Howard.
It's Ron Howard. The guy that makes it, the guy that owns the Chinese restaurant up the street, Obi-Wan. Yeah. It's a Mexican fellow, but he makes great Chinese food. Don't
be a racist. His best friend, who's a British spy?
Ooh.
Obi-Have.
Ah, nice. All right. His really fat friend? Obese. Me in this universe? Obscene.
Obscene.
Obscene. Mikey, get me out of this hole, brother. What do you got at the front of the long box?
So at the front of the long box, I have Superman up in the sky. A few years ago, DC Comics wanted to get into the Walmart market. So they started printing up these giant 100-page edition comics and selling them at Walmart exclusively. And they got a bunch of great writers to write stories. The Superman comic lasted for 12 issues. Yes, 12 issues. And one of the storylines that they had was written by Tom King. And they have collected it into a six-issue series called Superman Up in the Sky. And if you don't want to go out to your comic book store and pick up those six issues, if you wait, a hardcover is coming out. It is not the greatest It's not the greatest Superman comic, but it's got to be in the top 10 as far as storylines go because of a couple things. First, the way they did the story, every page is one scene. Typically in a comic book, you have 20 to 22 pages. You've got three to five scenes, and a scene ends in modern comics at the end of the page. So when you flip it, there's a new scene. It very rarely do they actually end in the middle of a page and cut to a different scene. But they purposely did it so that every page contained one scene of this comic. And the storyline is there is a murder in Gotham. A foster family and two kids are killed. One kid escapes and is injured and is in the hospital. And the fourth child is missing. and Batman calls in Superman to ask him to help. And Superman's like, this isn't really my thing. What do you need me to do, though? And Batman says, go talk to the kid. So he goes to the hospital, and this little girl tells an amazing story about her Superman doll and how her sister, her foster sister, you know, would like Superman best, so she would always take it. But then at the end of the story, he's asked, where did she go? And she says, up in the sky. And they figure out that a rogue Zeta beam has teleported this little girl from Gotham City somewhere in the universe. And Batman asks Superman to go find this girl. And Superman's like, I can't. For one thing, I'd have to travel to Ron, which would take weeks to do. And in that time that I'm gone, all these people on Earth who rely on me to save them would be in danger. And finally, he realizes it doesn't matter, because he talks to his dad and he says, that little girl is out there. And right now she believes that someone is coming to rescue her. And you're the only one who can. So Superman then embarks on an epic journey across the universe to save this little girl. And they use it as an opportunity to explore all these different facets of Superman on his journey to just rescue this one child. It's a great story. I highly recommend it. It's called Superman Up in the Sky. I know it's not available on Comixology yet, so if you want it, you're going to have to go to either Walmart and find those old copies, or go to your comic book store and pick up the actual comic series that just specialized in that, or wait for the hardcover.
Well, that sounds like a really good one. I think I might take a look for that one.
Hey, man, this is Kevin Smith, Silent Bob from all those terrible Jay and Silent Bob type pictures, and you are listening to Thinking Outside the Long Box, comics talk for comics fans.
Tommy, what you got the old back of the long box, buddy?
I have Judge Dredd Under Siege, written by the fourth long box guy, Mark Russell.
Whoa, whoa, the fourth long box guy. Did one of us get replaced?
Well, I thought we were replacing Tommy.
Oh yeah,
that'd be me.
But not yet.
That'd be me.
Not yet. We don't want to find out that way.
I didn't check the mail yet. Should I go check the mail, guys?
No, you're good.
I thought you had already told him. Did you not tell him, Mike?
This is just awkward. Judge Dredd, what was the name of the series?
Under Siege.
Like my job.
Like, I thought you had already told him. Anyway.
Does Snagglepuss jump out of a cake?
It had art by Max Dunbar. You can pick this up on Comixology. This features the lawgiver, Judge Dredd. He's called in to give backup to another lawgiver who is MIA at the Patrick Swayze block. And so he has to go into the Patrick Swayze block, which has been incommunicado, and find this rogue lawgiver. And he goes in, and nothing's working. And he has to climb up countless stairs to get to find this lawgiver. And come to find out, nothing's working in the Patrick Swayze block. Mutants have come in from outside the city. They are trying to take over the Patrick Swayze block, infiltrate the city, let off a dirty bomb in the hopes that people in Megalopolis will eventually mutate, all in the hopes that this one mutant will eventually be able to live in Megalopolis and be accepted by the city of Megalopolis. And that's this one leader of the mutants' desire, is to one day be able to live free in Megalopolis instead of in the wastelands outside. And it's a really great story written by Mark Russell about this city, that this block in the city that has kind of lived off the grid in the city for years, because nobody wanted it anymore. It was run down and had budget cuts right from the beginning. And it's just been kind of abandoned by the city. And because of that, these mutants are kind of trying to take over and get into Megalopolis through it. And only one lawgiver, Judge Dredd, is trying to put up a fight for it, along with the lawgiver that's been MIA. And it's a great story if you like Judge Dredd. Yes, Mike.
Is the lawgiver in the Patrick Swayze block called Judge Dalton?
It is.
And if he was, is he shorter than he thought that you would be?
Smaller than you thought he'd be. Yeah. I have to say,
Roadhouse.
The artist from that series, what's his name again? Max Dunbar?
Max Dunbar.
I have named one of Max Dunbar's character, and he kept it in canon.
Ooh, what was that?
He drew a kobold and the picture he put up on Twitter. And I was like, I love this kobold. I have named him Lincoln. And he enjoys hunting dire porcupines just for the challenge of it. And Dunbar said, that's it. That's his name. It's canon.
Nice.
Thanks, Max. I know you're not listening.
That was a bit of a tangent there, buddy. Speaking of tangents, you got a tangent for us this week, Josh?
Yeah, so I am flying off to Secaucus, New Jersey. What's that?
Humble brag.
I know. Oh, yeah. I just like putting it out there for people. And so I don't get to fly very often, but when I do, I really dislike it, mostly because I can't sleep on planes. Has anybody got any good plane stories? I'll tell mine last.
Flying back from England a little while ago, I was on this plane, and then I realized there was nobody in my entire row. And I told one of the stewardesses, hey, there's no one in this whole row. Can I just kind of stretch out, and can I make a pillow fort? And the stewardess said, baby, I'd be sad if you didn't. I'm like, thank you. She gave me like 9 blankets and like 12 pillows. I made a pillow fort. I put the blankets over all the chairs. I watched Shaft 3 times. That's the new Shaft, by the way, which is awesome. Drank 3 Dewars and Coke and slept like a baby the rest of the way. And nobody bugged me about putting on a seatbelt. I put all the arms up. I laid straight flat back. One of the most comfortable plane rides of my life. LT, what do you got, buddy?
Years and years ago, when I was traveling for work, when I just started back at Emerson, years ago, I was traveling with this coworker, Frank, and he did not like flying. And on our way to New Orleans, we got upgraded to first class, and he was an Irishman and liked to drink. And so immediately we got drinks in first class, and we had several drinks on the flight because he really did not like to fly at all. And it was hilarious because on the landing was a little rough, and I thought Frank was just going to puke up everything that he drank during that flight. And I took a little bit of a little bit of joy in watching Frank have a hard time on our bumpy landing.
Because you're a dick.
Well, sometimes.
I'm going to add one other thing since we're talking about drinking. I don't talk about too much on this podcast, but I was in the military for a long time. Well, not a long time, but a while. And I was a nuclear weapons specialist during Desert Shield, and we were trying to hide our numbers. So when I went overseas with my my group, they made us go in civilian clothing to hide the numbers that were going across. And we went in on civilian planes, kind of hide the numbers of the troops moving. And on the way back from the Middle East, there was a small mechanical problem, and the pilot did not know that this was all military dudes. And he says, hey, sorry about that slight delay. Just to make it up to you, we're going to make all drinks free for the rest of the flight. We drank everything. I mean, there wasn't rubbing alcohol left on this goddamn plane by the time we almost crashed that son of a bitch into New York City. The thing was, and we were running up and down the aisles trying to make the plane tilt. this this was, it's a good thing it was all military, because this would not have been a fun plane ride for any civilians that accidentally put themselves on this plane. We kept all leaning from one side to the other, trying to roll it at one point. So that was a fun plane ride.
Most of our listeners probably don't know, when I first went to college, I was an aviation major. And my first FAA check ride, I am in a Cessna 152, a small high-wing plane. And for those of you who don't know, for the 152 and the 172s, there are no fuel pumps. The gasoline is gravity-fed into the engine. So I go into my first test ride, and there's this crotchety old guy who asks me a bunch of irrelevant questions and tries to smoke in the plane while I'm in it. And we take off, and he starts complaining sort of about how I left the airstrip. My takeoff was fine, and I took my 45, and I went out, and he was just being an old curmudgeon. And then he decided to actually say to me, "Don't you worry, son. There ain't nothing you can put this plane into that I can't get it out of, and you just go ahead and try." So I jammed down the left runner, cranked over to the left, and turned that plane upside down. And of course, the gas is gravity-fed, so it starts flowing back into the tanks, and the plane starts stalling. And I'm sure a lot of people have seen planes restart in the air, but that's just not a thing that actually happens. So we probably lost about 1,100 feet of altitude before he corrected out of it, and the engine was basically sputtering. And I really thought I was going to give the old guy a heart attack and he was going to die.
Nice.
And all he did was scream at me the rest of the time, and I'm like, "You told me to! Use an explicit instruction!" He was not happy. That. He gave me that. The just barely passing grade, so I didn't have to do that again.
Yeah. He just didn't want to do it with you again.
He just didn't want to do it again. Yeah.
All right. Hey, I'm just going to do just a quick 3 to 18 here. Just first off, has everyone seen Gotham by Gaslight?
No.
I've read the book.
But then I'm going to actually talk about DC, the online service. 3 to 18, how much are you guys enjoying that? Because I got to tell you, I'm a solid 15. Because I really enjoy all the comic books. I really enjoy like finding like Gotham by Gaslight, all that kind of stuff out there. I'm a 15. How about you, Mike?
I'm going to go with 16. I read at least one or two comic books a week on the app itself, and I look forward every Friday night to whatever drops.
Yeah, and the Harley Quinn cartoon is hilarious. The last one was wicked funny. Tommy.
The content, I will give a 17 to. The app, I will give an 8 to.
Really? You're having that much trouble navigating the app?
No, I think it's just shitty.
I don't know.
He's not wrong.
Serviceable.
Yeah, but it's horrible for reading comics. It doesn't pick you right up where you left off.
Yeah, serviceable for something I pay for is not quality. It's below average.
All right, no, I'll listen to your
rules that Netflix has. Or yeah, it's not a good app. He's right. It's not.
You're
a good
right.
App.
Now that you're mentioning it,
crashes a lot on my tablet.
Oh, I've never had a crash on my iPad.
It doesn't do a good job. They don't do a good job on the app itself.
On both my Fire tablets and my Samsung.
Now that you're mentioning that, I have been frustrated a couple times when I'm reading a comic book and I have to I go to sleep or something, and the next day I don't automatically go right to that page or right to the panel I was on.
Yeah, and it's terrible if you pause in the middle of a show, too.
And it's also if you download comics because you know you're going to be offline, it's really not that easy to delete them later. You have to do 7 steps to get to where you can delete it.
Haven't done that one, but that does sound annoying, too. Okay. All right.
It's not good app design.
Good input, guys. Good input. But I really do enjoy it. And Josh, I don't think you gave me my numbers. Give me my numbers.
I'm going to go an 11. I like the content, the new content, some of the new content they came up with. But there's not enough of it for me to keep the subscription up, honestly.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't read a lot of DC Comics, so the shows have sort of run out, except for the Harley Quinn cartoon. So I actually let mine lapse this month.
Okay. Fair enough.
Come up with something new.
Fair enough. All right, and I guess that takes us over to plugs. One big thing we've been plugging away at for a couple weeks now is PensaCon coming up. Tommy, I can't believe how next year's Shield is coming out for our Dungeons & Dragons cosplay. That thing looks terrific, brother.
Told you I can make shields.
You know what? You made me a shield way back in the day, and I shouldn't have doubted you, but that thing just looks great. Josh, oh, I forget, you're Bobby the Barbarian, right?
Yeah, unless somebody else claimed it.
Nope. I can't wait to see what you come up with. Pretty much, you can just go to, like, any Leather Daddy shop. It's true. Just buy the, I think that's called a Slut
Horn
Daddy
helmets
cross.
Are pretty easy, yeah.
Just get that slutty leather crossed suspender set up, a loincloth, and you're in, buddy.
Oh, yeah, I already got the loincloth.
And, Mikey, you're going to be, should I give away what you're going to be? You're a three-headed goon?
Five-headed.
Five? Really? You went with all five?
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Yeah.
If you're Tiamat, you got to have
all five. I thought
you were
going to go battle damage, Tiamat. Like,
I will be probably by the end of the day.
Yeah.
As
yeah.
the heads fall off of me, but yeah.
Yep. I'm going to be doing Sheila the Thief, and the girl who did the voice for Sheila the Thief will be there. One of my very first crushes as a young man. I hope that Josh will help me not make too much of a fool of myself. Though in the past, he has not really been my savior at this kind of thing.
Sure.
Hasn't been as bad as Mikey, who will definitely throw me under the railroad tracks to a famous person every chance he gets.
I will.
Thanks. You let me just sit there and choke on Mike Grell's name for like 8 minutes. Well, I sweat bullets.
Glorious.
It was glorious.
Oh, what, hey, God. Mike, what was the name of that thing? And I just turn and walk away.
Nice.
Oh, it's good.
Saber Reigns. God damn it.
I'm never going to forget it now, though. It was a Thank teaching you, moment.
Hey, what did I learn? You're a dick.
I'm Lesson looking forward learned. To you making a little girl cry this PensaCon. It's going to become a tradition.
I hope to make that a tradition every single year. Not as good as the time you made that little boy cry at the wrestling show where you outed him as adopted and he figures it out. Wait, I have red hair. Mommy, why do I have red hair? It was awesome.
Josh, is your cousin going to be coming with a friend?
I have not heard from Jen, but I will, of course, invite her.
Nice. And let's also thank Kirby Crackle. Kirby Crackle, they provide our geek rock music every single week, and they dropped a bunch of new stuff over the last couple of months. Always fun to do and listen to. Go to Bandcamp. That's one good place to see it. Where else can they find that, Mikey?
KirbyCracklemusic.com.
Excellent.
And I would like to recommend everybody go to patreon.com/thelongboxguys and sign up to be a member of the Longbox Legion. And for a mere $1 a month.
Wait. You're telling me for the cost of 4 hand jobs.
Yeah, it's the same as downtown.
Same as downtown.
Just like
$1
downtown.
A month, I can get
an
what?
Extra weekly podcast from the Longbox guys called The Geek Leak. It's a
fuck you.
I'm not,
really?
I would not lie about something this important to our listeners.
Oh, wow.
And if you really can't stand to go a whole day without us, you can always go to our Twitter account, and that is @TheLongBoxGuys.
And we've been talking a lot in the Longbox Guys over the last couple of weeks, made a lot of new friends, talking about everything from Warhammer 40K to pro wrestling to comic books that are coming out to where to go on vacation that came up a couple of weeks ago. Good geek resorts. Where's a good geeky place you guys want to take a vacation? I'm going to Vegas, but I'm sad that they – and I'm going to go see where they had the Star Trek lounge. A lot of good geeky stuff to do in Vegas.
Yeah, last time I was in New York, I went on a walking tour of the non-existent places. So I went to the corner where the Baxter Building should be.
That's fun. I like that.
Yeah.
I would go do that.
Why not? I got a day and I got and I got very little affordable cash.
This race pizza, not the good race pizza, but this race pizza, that's where Avengers Tower should be.
I got shawarma for lunch.
Oh, nice.
Nice.
Tom, you got anything you want to plug, buddy?
I'd like to plug geekorthodox.com.
What?
Geekorthodox.com?
Geekorthodox.com.
Hello, Tammy.
Geekorthodox.com, purveyor of fine t-shirts and other geeky things, such as stained glass prints, Johnny Skywalker rocks glasses, you name it, they got it, including Argyle socks.
Who doesn't love those?
Holy shit, I want that stained glass beholder. I know they made it on for somebody else, but my God, he's got to do a whole series of monsters, because I would love to just put in my window a monster's manual.
Did you see the Tiamat he started?
Dude.
Yeah.
Dude. Well, all right, guys. What would you want as a monster? For me, a hook horror would be great. Just always love those things.
I'm a fan of the Mind Flayer.
Ah, yeah.
Because
Mike,
it scares the shit out of Rob.
That was like top five for me. Yeah, Mind Flayer.
Big okay looking Rob.
Maybe an owlbear for me then.
Ooh, an owlbear. That's a good one.
Oh, you know, a gelatinous cube. Because I almost killed your whole fucking group with one. Yeah, baby. Yeah.
That just looks like a window, though, right?
Yeah. It depends how big the window is.
It's a really clean window.
It's 10 by 10 or less. We're not seeing shit.
I like the way your group handled it. You realized that it was only 10 by 10 and only four characters could comfortably fit in it. So you filled it with four characters.
Take that. It's okay. It's full. For now.
For now.
Dun, dun, dun.
Boom, boom, boom.
I say we just keep feeding the alligators until they lose interest in us. It's actually not the worst strategy I've ever heard. Josh, you want anything? Gonna plug anything for us, buddy?
Nah, I mean, we got PentaCon coming up. I'm super excited about PentaCon. Cannot wait. We're going to get down there. We got the same place we had last time. We got so much going on. Have we heard about Weird Al?
Well, we haven't heard anything. We've thrown a couple teasers out there. Hopefully, it'll come down while we're doing our geek karaoke, because that would just
press the flesh there.
That would just make 14-year-old me just lose his goddamn mind. Unfortunately, we did have a cancellation today in the form of Wilford Brimley. We wish him the best, but he's having some medical issues. Nothing funny about that, but if you were going just to see Wilford Brimley, I'm afraid you'll have to catch him at the next one.
Well, fuck you guys. I'll see you at the next con.
I'm out. I'm all about the oatmeal and the diabetes.
Diabetes.
God damn it. I thought you had a cure for my diabetes.
Diabetes.
Yeah, it's just...
Yeah. Not so much.
Because they sounded really offensive there to all our diabetic friends, and I decided not to.
Probably wise.
Pulled myself back from the brink. I'd like to thank, just a quick shout out to Alpha and Omega Gaming Shop in Quincy, Massachusetts. Yes, something's good in Quincy.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. I would like to thank our fellow podcasters at whosnextgaming.com. Seth and the boys, every week they talk gaming, and then the other week they talk about comics and movies. They were just discussing The Irishman. Have you guys seen it? I've seen 25 minutes of it, and that's 25 minutes of my life I will never get back.
I'm with you right there, Mike. I think I probably got maybe 25 to 35 minutes in, and
what's wrong with The Irishman?
It's
boring.
It's a 3.5 hour boring movie about old dudes.
Yeah, white male rage. I haven't heard anything. I've heard some. Oh, that was a bit via Senor did on Saturday Night Live about The Irishman and a couple other movies last week. Sorry to have a weird aside there. I haven't heard that many good things about The Irishman, but I kind of want to see it because, you know, it's Boston, its history is the kind of thing I like. I think I'll probably give it a shot.
I think it's Philadelphia, but.
Yeah.
Oh, Philadelphia. Yeah. Got to come over to Boston a little bit.
And it doesn't even have Danny DeVito doing a guest spot. That's Frank. Because I fucking would love that.
That would have been awesome.
Could you imagine at the last 5 minutes of it, it turns out it's all just a story that the guys in the Paddy's Pub are telling each other?
Can you believe it? Yeah.
I can believe that. Yeah.
Believe it?
I can't believe it.
Well, to be fair. We had to get a Letterkenny in there, and we had to get a Hudson Hawk in there, or else we couldn't have said goodbye. Goodbye from the Long Box guys. Mikey, what's this podcast like to you?
It's like Drunk History, but for comics.
And Josh, I'm sorry to ask, and I'm sorry to say, is Secaucus, New Jersey, your sector?
No, but I mean, I heard part of this podcast is made in L.A.
L.A.?
Oh, my gosh.
Mike, you're almost close enough to L.A. to count.
Yeah, Mike, why don't you step in at L.A.?
L.A. Yes. Tommy. Any words of wisdom for us, buddy?
This is definitely not the podcast you desire, but it is definitely the podcast you deserve. Maybe the Geek Week is the podcast you desire. Check it out.
Check it out, indeed. And don't forget what I always say. Don't diss what you hate. Just promote what you love. You're going to live a lot longer. Thank you so much from us at the Long Box, guys. I sucked a gangster's cock earlier today.
I know what the end drop is.
See? Would I suck a dick if my good friend Bugs Bunny was in that oven?
You might, Travis.
Yeah, might, Travis. Would I throw an unused condom in there? I don't know what your kinks are, rabbit.